Welcome to Two Fools Podcast. This is Drew.
And this is Travis.
And welcome to a new podcast that I hope to do about once a month called the Anticast. This is where me, Travis, and maybe another special guest here and there will talk about anime. Things we like, things we don't like. Every once in a while, maybe do a bit of a review for an anime. And to start off, I felt we should kind of do our anime cred a bit. I first started watching anime around 1995-96. First anime I really got into was The Slayers, which was a sword and sorcery action comedy. Anime that I tend to like, sword and sorcery, supernatural, stuff like that. Sci-fi I also enjoy. Stuff I don't really care for would be more towards moe and things of that nature. It's just not my cup of tea.
I went and started watching anime around the same time. The first anime that I went and, you know, watched through to completion was Iria the Animation, which came out in the early 90s, and ever since, just, you know, kept going along with it. Things that I like to watch, for the most part, are mostly shonens. Again, I like cool fight scenes. I like very upbeat storylines. Have a decent amount of sword and sorcery stuff. I am really not interested in a lot of the more horror or seinen type shows. It just really doesn't get me much, but a lot of the psychological shows are really up my alley.
And it's always a fun story I like to tell, because usually people will be like, well, what's the first anime you ever watched? And that one's an odd one for me, because, like I said, the first one I watched series-wise was The Slayers. The first anime I ever saw was Project Aiko. And I didn't even realize it was an anime, because Sci-Fi used to do, like, Saturday anime. And I saw it when I was like 10, so that would be my first experience, even though it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Sci-Fi was where I went in first when I watched all of Iria to completion. So
probably. They did a lot of Saturday anime. They just had a bad tendency of not saying it was anime. They would just put it on, and usually when I would see stuff like that, it'd be at my grandparents', because they actually had cable and we didn't way back when.
Yeah.
And it was just interesting, like, hey, anime stuff, and then there were breasts and things of that nature. So for a 10-year-old, it was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, but I guess it became a lot more common for us to go and watch when it started to go and come on Cartoon Network, because they had their 2 or 3 hours where they went and showed nothing but anime shows.
Yep. Yeah, that would be the Toonami block. You had things
like, yeah, that's right,
DBZ, you had Trigun, you had Cowboy Bebop, a lot of interesting shows
Oh yeah, they showed a lot of oldies, but actually goodies, so.
Mm-hmm. And the other place that I think both of us probably got started when it came to anime collecting would be our local comic book store.
Always convenient to have a local comic book store that's willing to go and stock anime if you intend to buy it, of course.
But yes, or if you have Best Buy carries some stuff now. It used to not, but
it carries a lot less now than it used to.
It used to have a decent section. Now it has like a shelf and a half, maybe.
Yeah, but anyways, back to the anime.
Yep. And just, this anime cast is going to be, like I said, sometimes reviews, sometimes there'll be topics like, you know, sword and sorcery anime, what's the best, what's the worst, stuff like that, things of that
nature. Yeah, good points, low points, what I like, what Drew likes, what we know we should not like, but we like anyway.
Yes, and just maybe some weird things that people have never seen before that we maybe had the plus or the minus of running into cough Planet Buster.
I never knew a chase scene could be so confusing.
And we'll probably talk about that one later. But yeah, this was just a quick, short little something to introduce our probably two main hosts and let you know what's coming up later. See you later, guys. Welcome to Two Fools Podcast. This is Drew.
And this is Travis.
And welcome back to the Anticast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about Akame ga Kill, a new popular anime, I'm guessing. I've seen some people in our group that really, really like it, but I haven't heard a lot about it.
It is definitely a mixed bag. But with that said, I can definitely see why people would enjoy it.
Okay, and I guess probably we should go with what we like about it, because I know there's going to be a number of things we don't like about it that come up. Well, one thing is, it's a bit closer to one of my favorite genres, the sword and sorcery. There's some technology in there, but it's close. It's real close, so I kind of like that. Number two, I found the main character very enjoyable, and the supporting cast are enjoyable characters.
On the subject of what the show actually is, it kind of goes and takes you for a loop, because at the beginning it definitely portrays itself as being a traditional shonen that is just over the top with a bit of blood and gore for a bit of a shock factor. I suspect that's what it was really there for, yeah. Just mm-hmm. to go and get that, wow, they went and did that in the show. But with that said, they could have gone and toned it down, and it would have been just as enjoyable as it is currently.
Yep, and I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. There will be some spoilers in here. If you haven't seen the anime, I would suggest you at least watch a couple episodes, see if it's your cup of tea and you want to keep going. If you do, finish it, come back, enjoy our review, maybe send us a comment or two of what you like and don't like. If you watch it and you feel it's not your cup of tea, come back and just join us for a conversation.
And still go and give us your comments about what you like or don't like.
Yep.
Again, we have a long list of things we don't like. We actually went and covered a lot of the things we like about the show, so be prepared for a number of complaints for the next however long this goes.
Yeah, probably about 30 minutes, because I don't know if I can keep a bitch fest going for an hour, but... But, like I said, I do enjoy the characters, even some of the bad characters. The evil characters, I guess you should say, not the bad characters. But the main problem with this show is it goes from what might have been like a best described Sentai team kind of anime to we're just going to slowly kill off the heroes.
And with that said, I am not opposed to a good death, especially one that goes mm-hmm. and helps another character go and change and become better and more interesting. And there's only two of those deaths in the entire show. There are a lot of character deaths. Lots of them. This is a lot like Game of Thrones. If you like a character, most likely they're not going to survive.
And again, there are some deaths where most deaths are involved. They're in the middle of a fight. Some are better than others. A character by the name of Lublock goes out with his boots on. But then there are others where it's just like, oh, I'm too wounded. I'm dying.
The number of post-combat deaths was horrific. And they were majorly just pointless.
Yeah. One of the ones especially where towards the end there's a character by the name of Leone who has like this tiger transformation power thing, and she's supposed to have regeneration capabilities. The thing that gives her power gets busted. She gets shot up, but it seems like, oh, she survived, yay, and then in the credits goes and dies in the back of an alley, and I'm like, why?
Yep, just like a wounded cat, which again, even when she went and got shot up, it was after the major combat. The only villain left in the entire show was the useless fat guy who was the mastermind of the whole shebang.
Yes, the Emperor's advisor, who looks like evil Colonel Sanders.
And is absolutely disgusting, which is actually a good selling point for that villain in that he is just so revolting every time he is on the screen that you hate him. Because you should.
And that's one of the major complaints we had. A number of good characters got the axe either too early or got the axe when they really didn't need to get the axe. One of the ones that, even though it helps the main character grow, I was so ticked when they killed Bro.
Oh, yeah. So, basically, that was one of the required deaths, though, because yeah. the main character did not have, basically, his did not have a magical gimmick. He did not have a super weapon. So, in order to go and breach that, they went and, you know, he could either have gone and picked one up from one of the villains, which he went and tried that and failed because it didn't go and meet his shtick, mm-hmm. or he went and, you know, basically got one from his fallen comrade, because those two were definitely bros as far as the eye could see.
Yes. And some people are like, well, you mean bro? Well, he had the main character call him bro, and this guy was a... just muscle mountain of a man with a pompadour shaped in a heart. It was just over the top, weird, but amazing. But yeah, bro dies, main character gets his magical armor and starts growing with that. So that was a good part, but I still did not like that they killed bro.
Well, it sucks that when they go and kill your favorite character, but at least he had a good, useful death. Every other death until the end of the show, with the exception of Lubbock, has absolutely no utility to the story whatsoever. They just die. And that goes for both the villains and for the supporting cast.
Yeah, and as the show goes on, there's more and more supporting cast to get murdered, because... the Empire gets their own anti-good guy squad.
Oh, yeah. So the antagonists are as heroic as yeah. the main characters. In fact, in some ways, they're actually better heroes than the main cast.
Well, except for that former police lady. She's just batshit crazy. But...
yeah, but she was crazy on the side of good and justice.
If you say so.
Oh, she was without a doubt batshit crazy.
And, you know, and each of their groups goes through deaths. Just, it gets to the point where somebody's gotta die, and, you know, even the villain antagonist group has characters that you're like, I like that guy, and then, of course, dead.
Yeah, and it would be one thing if the characters went and, you know, died accomplishing something like they would in a more traditional shonen show. But oftentimes they go and die effectively off-screen. Like, and it's not that they actually die off-screen. They definitely all die on-screen.
Actually, the lady with the makeup kit died off-screen.
We did she not... she was long dead on screen well, before she went.
Yeah, but it didn't really show us what happened until later on. We see her head on like a flagpole. But
I mean, she was dying when it cut to black. So she was long past. But anyways, a lot of gore and dying in this show. It tries to go and come off as a shonen, and I think they just wanted to go way too far with the shock factor.
Well, see, as I continued to watch, this came across to me, and I think you might can see it as well. This came across as them trying really hard to be One Piece and failing, because One Piece, one of the things that got me into One Piece was it was a traditional shonen show, but all the characters had these pasts that were, rough.
Yeah.
A lot of
wrenching pasts.
Yeah, and they would pull at heartstrings, things like that, but they could get your emotions going without killing people. You know, they could show, oh, they've had this terrible life, or not necessarily terrible, but this happened, and that's the reason they're this way. And,
yeah.
You know, you got more characterization without having to go the way of, well, you know, we're going to kill four people in four episodes, which is where this one went awry. It seemed they want to try to tell their character stories as they're dying.
Now, I know that there is also a manga for this.
Yes.
So I have no idea how close the show is to the manga, and whether or not all these characters die in the manga, or if they even exist in the manga, or the timeline that it takes place.
I don't know either. I haven't read it. One of our friends has, I know. But
yeah, and he's rereading it currently. But again, it feels like the show they did actually was set up to go and preempt the manga, perhaps.
It could
because
be.
Because they want... Because the only...
Strike while the iron's hot.
Possibly. But also just the very few surviving characters definitely seem like the kind of characters that you would just be required to have to go and continue the manga.
I can see that. I mean, and it could be one of those, again, striking while the iron's hot, because they've done this multiple times. They did this with Full Metal Alchemist, where the manga wasn't complete, but they put out their own anime, and that didn't turn out bad. Then they released another one to do the actual manga storyline. Did it with Hellsing as well. They are doing it with Attack on Titan. There's a number that do this, so it could be that maybe more survive in the manga. Maybe it's the same, don't know, but that would be something to look into maybe at a later date. On the final kind of moment of dumb death, the main character dies being crushed by a falling mecha. There you go.
Yep, he goes and defeats basically the giant god robot unharmed. Completely, well, for the majority part, unharmed as far as a shonen goes. And then he goes and allows himself to be crushed by it to go and save nameless
extras,
characters.
Nameless townsfolk. I mean, yes, it fits with him. He was the heroic naivete, I want to be Superman kind of deal. But at the same time, it's like, really? You're gonna get rid of one of the more better human characters in this.
And this is actually pretty soon after one of the other more pointless deaths, which is the death of basically his very fresh new girlfriend, who her thing is that she was, you know, she gets better at, you know, doing stuff when things are more dangerous. Yes. So she went and put herself into a very dangerous spot against a really cool
villain
character, and you know, comes out on top. And afterwards, she goes and dies from
exhaustion,
wounds, or it was completely ridiculous.
You know, it was that, oh, I won, I'm gonna fall over, have my death speech.
Now,
and
it
die.
would have been one thing if she had literally died in that, you know, combat in that segment. It would have made sense. It would have been a, you know, very heroic going out with a bang. But no, she goes and basically bleeds out afterwards.
Yeah, so there's a lot of useless death in this. But next topic on this, I call this a paint-by-numbers anime because it follows all of the tropes.
Oh, certainly.
Another main one is every female except for like a couple are in love with the main character in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it was very much set up as a shonen harem style show from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And I think they were just trying to beat the watchers over the head with a stick saying, no, it's not that, when it probably could have been that show and been just as enjoyable or more enjoyable.
Well, as me and you were watching some of it, there's a main antagonistic character called General S. Death. She is like this ultra powerful ice woman.
She is the ice bitch.
Yeah. And they bring her in to deal with the heroes. And when she shows up, one of the first demands she has is she wants to fall in love. And Travis can say this. As soon as she said that, I turned to him and go, she's going to put out a list and the main character is going to fit every single piece of it.
Yeah, and with that said, that's not a terrible angle to go and take with your main villain to go and be conflicted.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of that, yeah, I saw this coming a mile away. And sure enough, she falls in love with the main character. He doesn't necessarily love her. He tries to win her over to his side multiple times, but She ain't having any of it because
she actually is a proper motivated villain. She actually does just have that bloodthirst that cannot be cured, and I'm glad that she at least was consistent the entire show.
Yes. And so we have that. We have a few other characters that come in. One of them that shows up is a guy by the name of Wave, who is pretty much just the opposite of our main character in the...
Yeah, Wave basically is the exact same character as the main character.
Just on the antagonist
side. Except that he is with the... And again, that's where you get to the point that the other group is and the antagonist, not really the villains per se.
They're working for what they see as the correct side, even if the correct side is corrupt.
Yeah.
But you know that they are not corrupt, but the side they are working for is corrupt.
And even with that description, when you actually go and learn more about the king, who is you know a very young boy, his dad went and just passed because the minister is implied to have gone and killed him. The kid emperor is not actually a terrible person. He's just being manipulated as bad as, you know, a kid emperor can be.
Yeah. And most of it is evil Colonel Sanders' fault.
Correct.
And we go through this anime. It has some of that. It has kind of a Gurren Lagann moment where anyone gets close to a certain character dies, aka the main character. But other just kind of things, it does a very shonen job, but doesn't quite leave you with the same satisfaction as a shonen does usually.
Correct. And again, I will repeat that I feel that they wanted to go and put some shock factor into their show and wanted it to not be a traditional show, and because of that they went and actually hurt themselves as far as not injuring the fans, because there's a lot of really cool characters with some cool backstories and they just go and really squander them all in the length of this show, which is only a season.
Well, again, best way to describe it, it might have a little bit of Attack on Titan syndrome, where...
Oh, this is exactly like Attack on Titan, where you go and kill characters pretty much just to go and
keep the shock
just so you can draw that horrific bloody gore scene.
Yep. And it's just, I would say give it a watch just to see if you like it or not, because, you know, some people might enjoy it. But
it's definitely a great conversational piece.
It's a good conversational piece. There are some interesting fight scenes. There are main characters actually kind of competent from the start, you know.
Yeah.
He has to get better, but he doesn't start off as I'm useless.
Oh no, like the main character is shown as being, you know, competent and strong in the first 30 seconds of the show.
Sure. Oh yeah, he's just kind of, I guess, Marvel Cinematic Captain America, kind of naive because he's from the country, he doesn't know what the capital's like, and from the get-go he gets taken in by a family of sadists and is just barely saved because the assassin group shows up to kill them.
So again, we're kind of reaching the end of our interesting things to go and say about this show. I feel
we are this one. There's, other than the complaints, there's really not a lot that it does great to kind of counterbalance that.
Yeah, like the combats are cool. The characters are interesting. Effectively the superpowers are unique. Some of them are pretty traditional, but there's enough, you know, fluff there to go and keep you thinking about how folks are going to go and use those in the future. And but it still just doesn't go and overcome the fact that they just literally squander their characters on meaningless deaths.
Yeah, and again, there's some comedy moments. Like, there's a character you meet called Susano, which he's this Imperial Arms, which is what the items are called, but he's a human Imperial Arms. And it's funny because he's a neat freak and he loves to cook, though he's this big badass combat thing.
Oh, yeah. He's a living weapon, effectively.
Yeah. And, you know, you got some nice comedy moments with that, but again, they get squandered by the death, the not needed death. And so my view on it, if I had to do like a 1 through 10 rating, I'd say about a 5 to 6.
As far as the animation and the interest factor of the show, it's definitely, you know, up towards a 7. But as far as the story goes and the actual effectiveness, is definitely more of a 4.
Yeah, so if we had to kind of combine those, it'd be around a 5 in total. It's a middle of the road. Some might like it, some might not. It's not the anime of this cycle. I don't know if there are any anime of this cycle, because I haven't heard anything about any big time, like, oh, you gotta see this stuff.
There's some pretty hysterical ones being shown right now, but we'll go and talk about those on another episode.
Yep. So this has been Drew,
and this is Travis.
Y'all have a good night.